Has the job hunt worn you down? Application after application and radio silence. I know why you're here, and I can help you get there. A job offer, a job faster. You can now book me for $2 a minute for 30, 45, 60, or 90 minutes for a video chat interview preparation session. Don't need 45 minutes? Don't pay for it. Want to do 30 minutes now and maybe 30 minutes later once you progress? Let's do it. If you aren't getting responses to your application, we'll meet and rework your resume to get noticed. If you aren't passing job interviews, we'll work through a mock interview so you can put your best foot forward with winning responses that make a difference. I'm here to consult with you if you're in a unique situation and want input from someone that has seen it all and can help you succeed, like I have so many others. It's super simple. You just go to jobinterviewexperience.com and click the $2 minute coaching button at the top of the page, select the amount of time you want to meet, and then you can look through my availability without having to pay. Pick a time and pay $2 a minute for 100% of my attention. Check out the testimonials while you're there from listeners to this podcast that I've worked with in just the last couple of weeks. It's blocked into 30, 45, 60 minutes and more, so we won't go over. You won't get charged any more than what you pay for at checkout. Remember that the faster you invest in yourself, the faster you land that dream job. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com or follow the link in this episode's description. I'm excited to meet with you, help identify what's holding you back, and help you take control of your career today. Whitney Sullivan is a leadership coach, Enneagram practitioner, and keynote speaker based in Bozeman, Montana. She spent the first 10 years of her career working in higher education before transitioning full-time into entrepreneurship. Her professional training and coaching business was inspired by all the times she was asked, "Hey Whitney, do you got a minute?" by colleagues, students, and leaders. She loved these growth-focused conversations so much, she opened her business to create spaces to do it even more. I am incredibly interested in the Enneagram, and I think you should be too. So I asked Whitney to come on to help educate listeners on what the Enneagram is, how understanding yourself impacts your job search, your place in the professional world, and how far you can go when you understand who you are and all that you're capable of. Whitney, welcome to the Job Interview Experience.
Thanks for having me.
Outside of work, can we get to know you a little bit more? How do you like to spend your free time?
Yeah, well, like you said in the intro, I live in Bozeman, Montana. And so some of my favorite things to do are outdoor adventure related things. And if anyone that might not be familiar with Montana, it's a great place for the outdoors and outdoor adventures. I like to spend time with my husband and my family. We like to go camping. We like backpacking. We love to hike. We also love to cook, and I love to read, and really just enjoying everything that this area has to offer.
So did I see you in the background hiking in an episode of Yellowstone? Was that you?
No. No, I'm not in the background of Yellowstone, but those views are authentic all over in Montana.
Oh, it's gorgeous there. Can you give us a brief overview of your career and what led you to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I spent the first 10 years of my career in higher education, and I've always been driven towards growth and development roles. You know, anything that involved learning and educating and people, I was always all for it. So that's how I ended up in the higher ed and collegiate space. And in particular, I was really focused on student affairs and student development and helping students really get ready for their careers, making sure that they developed really good leadership skills before they, you know, went on their job search, and making sure that students really got a diverse set of experiences that they could add to their resume, you know, before they started that first initial job search, one of many that they'll probably do in their life. But, you know, I loved the educating and the training and the coaching, mentoring aspects of higher education so much that I eventually decided during the pandemic that I wanted to really double down and focus on that even more. And so that's how I got into the entrepreneurship space. And, you know, I think a lot of people really revisited what they were doing during the pandemic, and I was one of them too. So But it really just came from those moments, my favorite moments in higher education being when people, you know, wanted to stop by and talk about something. And I just wanted to create more spaces to make that available.
Whitney, what is a personality test? And I guess more specifically, what is the Enneagram?
The Enneagram is, in the end, any personality test, no matter which one you take, I really like to think of it as a tool that's going to give you language to understand yourself. And especially as you're looking for jobs, not only understand yourself, but be able to speak about yourself. And I think sometimes with personality tests, and I don't know if you found this too, Matthew, people get really stuck on the label of it. Sometimes people can be a little hesitant, like, ooh, I don't want to be labeled or just boxed in by a personality test. But I just think that they become such a handy tool when we're trying to communicate the really great things about ourselves when we're in that job search or trying to pick a career that's going to be a good fit for us. And so I like to think of any personality test that you take just as information. This is information that is helping you understand yourself better, your strengths better, what's going to be a good fit for you, and how you can speak about yourself with a lot of clarity. And so the Enneagram specifically is a personality and professional growth tool that details the 9 core motivations of humans. And those 9 core motivations are what drive the ways that we think, feel, and behave. And what makes the Enneagram different from some other tests like Myers-Briggs or Strengths or DISC is that it hits at the core motivation of yourself, of other people. And it hits at that core worldview. So it's a layer deeper of self-awareness, which I think is really powerful. And then it's from that core motivation that influences all the ways that we might behave. And so that's what the Enneagram is at its core.
How have you seen the Enneagram help professionals? Right? Once you understand some of these core motivations about yourself, what does that, how does that translate into professional transformation?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always like to tell people is that anytime you have new information about yourself, you have the ability to make new choices. And so I've seen the Enneagram do many things in terms of our career. So I've had clients where they realized after taking the Enneagram, like, oh, I had this blind spot. And now I think that I need to pursue a new role or I need to change my job. And because they had this blind spot revealed about them, they realized that they need to make a new choice about their relationships or their responsibilities or the results that they might be getting. And so I would say the Enneagram in particular is really powerful at getting blind spots. And I always tell people it's not a warm, fuzzy assessment. It's going to come in and tell you things that are great about you. And it's going to show you some shadows as well. And I had one client that was like, Whitney, this is so cringe. You know, and I would say for that particular client, the Enneagram was so useful in helping move past a period of burnout and seeing some of the blind spots that were getting in the way of showing up to the workplace with a lot more energy, a lot more well-being, a lot less stress. But also, I think in terms of the job search, if you're looking for a new career, I just think the Enneagram is so helpful in helping you explain what sets you apart, what makes you unique, the unique talents that you are going to bring to the table. And it just gives you that clear language to work with that I think really helps people establish with a lot of clarity and connection with the person they're with, what makes them a unique candidate.
You use that word clarity. Do you have any ideas on how a job seeker can use the Enneagram to help them gain some insight into themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. First, take the assessment. And I highly recommend the IEQ9 Integrative Enneagram Solutions. I think it's the most accurate assessment out there. It is a little bit more of an expensive assessment, but especially if you're really investing in yourself, it's going to be the one that's most worth it. But if you want to just kind of dip your toe in the water, there is a website called Truity, Truity.com. And they have a pretty decent free assessment. I would say as free assessments go, it's pretty good. But, you know, step number one, take the assessment, see if it resonates with you, and then take the language and use that to practice when you're preparing for those interviews. And I always, you know, especially when I was in higher education, we do workshops where it's like, hey, go through and highlight the things or star the things or make notes of the things that really stand out to you. And then when you practice those job interview questions, when you're preparing all of your materials, you can make sure that you use some of that really clear language that's going to help you stand apart.
Yeah. I've taken the Enneagram and it had a big impact on me. Honestly, it was probably one of the bigger moments in my life. I took it in my early 20s. And I'm of the opinion that most people's strengths, there's a side of that's also a weakness. And so for me, like I'm very opinionated. And that hurt some of my relationships early on, especially because I was very vocal and I enjoyed saying what I thought about everything. That was a weakness of mine. To me, enjoying that debate and saying what I thought was enjoyable, but then it's just a lot of negativity. Maybe the upside of those opinions is I'm also decisive. So it's easy for me to think about something and know what I want to do. But it really impacted how I interact with people professionally and also relationships. And for me, mostly it was realizing the negativity. I took the Enneagram and my results were an 8. And I'm wondering if you can, on our conversation for listeners, kind of break down some things about me for my audience or what an 8 might be like, so they can kind of see how this works in real life. Everyone is wildly different from each other, but there's these 9 mm-hmm. personalities. So once they get their own, they can get the same understanding through even your eyes as I'm about to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So type 8 leaders, so there's 9 types. And something else kind of interesting to know about the Enneagram is that there's 9 total types, but then there's 3 categories of types. And so 8, 9s, and 1s are considered the body or the gut triad. 2, 3s, and 4s are considered the heart triad. And 5, 6s, and 7s are considered the head triad. And so that would put you in what would be called the gut or the body triad. And this, so 8, 9s, and 1s are typically driven for mastery and control and agency. Would you say that resonates with you?
Unfortunately.
Yes, yes. And the core motivation, like the unique core motivation of a type 8 is to be strong, to be in control, and to avoid vulnerability. And sometimes I think type 8s get a bad rap, like, oh, they just want to be controlling and domineering. But, and I'd be interested to hear your perspective, is that really what I find in the type 8s I've spoken with, it's not so much about controlling everyone as I don't want someone to control me. So does that resonate with you?
It does. And I see myself a lot of times, and I'll say I have matured, and a lot of it is using these things and learning how to rewire myself for conversations. Mm-hmm. And there's a time to be an 8, full-blown 8, right? If you're out on a wild adventure and you have to survive, maybe that's the time to not hold back. But mm-hmm. if you're at a networking event or meeting your new boss, an 8 might want to share their opinion right away. Hey, I think mm-hmm. that actually there's a better way to do this. And so for mm-hmm. me, it's been learning how to kind of rein those things in. But also, I was going to say something. I completely lost my train of thought. Can you repeat your question for me?
Yeah, just if that resonated with you, that like it's not so much about controlling other people, but making sure that other people aren't controlling me. And like you really hit on something too that I've really noticed about 8s, and I always talk about with 8s, is that, you know, 8s are known to have this really big energy. A lot of what you're saying, like they're decisive, they're confident, they're assertive. And what makes an eight is they also have this tender side where they have so much, you know, care and love and protection for the people that really matter to them. And because in the end, type 8s are known to be very big protectors, and they tend to be big advocates in social justice. And they really excel at empowering and mentoring other people, which again, like with this podcast, the goal of it is to empower people. And so 8s really excel at that, and especially in leadership. So I do a lot of work with leaders. And I think what makes 8s really uniquely great in leadership, and I think this is something any 8 could use in a job interview, is that they really excel at seeing the big picture, at taking bold and decisive action. They embody confidence and difficulty. And I would say that 8s really don't shy away from conflict. And there's lots of situations in work where that requires productive conflict in order to move forward. And that's when I want that 8 in that situation, because I know an 8 is going to be willing to embrace some conflict if it means that we need to move forward on the other side. And they're also really passionate. They're energetic, really great mentors, they have that soft side where they really care about people. They tend to make really great bosses and mentors as well. So what in there really stands out to you as an eight as like, yeah, that's me. I do that. Yeah,
like everything. And you hit the nail on the head so well with in my own life, I really like having control of things. And I if I'm on time to something, I feel like I'm late. Like I want everything to be running smoothly and I'll make sure there's gas in the tank, the tires are aired up. I want control of all that. But outside of that, in group settings, if I'm getting together with friends, I don't care where we go, right? Maybe I'll have a place I want to meet up, but I don't care at all. It doesn't have to be my way. But with the not being controlled thing, I have this weird attitude that pops up, not in the workplace so much as like if I'm somewhere and say the park closes at 9 p.m., and I'm there at 8:59 and the park ranger is like, hey, park closes at 9. You got to go. I'm the type of person that's like, yeah, it's 8:59. So I'm not going to even start moving towards my car yet. Like that, those things really just like flips a switch in me where it's like, I'm doing this probably the right way. Like I'm abiding by the rules or like I was already here. I'll leave at 9. But just because you're having a bad day and you want to go home early, I'm going to like enjoy the view or make sure I get everything packed up and cleaned up and then I'll leave at night. That is the most true, again, not good thing about me. Maybe there's probably, you know, worse than good. Maybe there's some upside to that. But when I read this, when you say this, guilty as charged, like this is me.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said earlier. I hear a lot of eights say this, like, you know, once I learned this about myself, I realized that I needed to make some new choices in regards to some how I was approaching some relationships. And I always want to make sure that I encourage eights, like if you're in an eight, I don't want you to like turn down who you are or your, it's like your intensity and your passion and your directness is, like you said, part of what makes you who you are. But I think that Enneagram helps us see some other choices that we could make that still keep us aligned and authentic with ourselves. It's like, hey, I just met this person. Maybe a good choice I could make is to let them state an opinion first or, you know, kind of like you said. And it's like, and I think for eights, like that doesn't mean you're betraying yourself. Eights are really sensitive to betrayal. Just because you make a choice for a moment that might serve a moment doesn't mean that you're betraying who you are. It just means that you have this emotional intelligence to be like, hey, this is what this moment needs right now. And there might be another moment today that needs me to stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm going to take bold, decisive action here. And so I always encourage people, it's like, this is language to make choices. What does this, I don't know if we have any Ted Lasso watchers out there, but Total Football, like, what does this situation need? You know, is always a question we can be asking ourselves.
So hopefully I didn't overtake the what I wanted to do with this. Thank you for going over the eight, but I don't know what your number is. So can we do the same for you? Just, I want listeners to hear what it's like to understand yourself based on the Enneagram. So what's your number and what have you realized about yourself through understanding that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a type four, and a type four's core motivation is to be authentic, unique, and significant. And I would say for me personally, like I'm very driven by the significance piece, and type fours in general are really driven to have purpose, to instill a sense of purpose, to have meaning in their life, and to just making sure they're always doing things that make a difference, that make an impact on other people. And so I would say some of my talents, like in my work and that of type fours in general, is just instilling a sense of purpose, meaning, and connectedness in anything that a type four does. I also think type fours in the workplace are really excellent at understanding the emotional and relational levels of things. Like, they can really tune in to this like relational, emotional frequency that's kind of happening. They can hear it. They can see it. And because of that, they're really good at like asking the right questions. They tend to be truth tellers. They tend to be really empathetic and they tend to be really good at creating safe spaces for vulnerability because they can just tune into that frequency really well. And they also tend to be very creative. They have a lot of aesthetic sensibilities. I think type fours sometimes get a stereotype of they're all artists and songwriters. Like, you know, I'm like, I want to go on like a podcast tour of like the ordinary non-artist, non-songwriter type four. Cause like You know, there's, I mean, and again, not, there's nothing against that. It's just like a lot of the popular podcasts that have type fours come on, they're typically like artists, painters, and songwriters. And I'm like, I'll be the ordinary type four, you know, spokesperson that's not, you know, a singer songwriter. But so I think they get that stereotype, but that, you know, that doesn't, just because you're not an artist, that doesn't mean that you're not a type four. So I would say for me, like, what was really powerful to learn and actually was a huge motivator to starting my business is that type fours tend to have this blind spot that they believe that they are fundamentally flawed. Like they believe they're the source of all the problems happening in their life, which is sometimes true and sometimes not, right? Like, and I think that fundamental flaw, like really that belief I had this fundamental flaw really impacted my confidence. Like I thought that being an entrepreneur was just this mystic ability that you had or you didn't have, you know, and I'm not good enough for that. You know what I mean? And then when I realized like, oh, like I'm believing I have this like fundamental flaw about myself. Once I could remove that blind spot, I really realized that like entrepreneurship is just another set of skills to learn. That's all it is. It's a set of skills. And there's actually a lot of connections between entrepreneurship and education. And so I'd say for me, like removing that blind spot that like I'm not fundamentally flawed was a really powerful thing for me.
The Enneagram test is something you can take through Whitney with her and then learn from. I took it probably 11 years ago or so. And like I said, and what I'll encourage listeners to think about is it's definitely helped my trajectory since then. I think I would actually be a much worse employee. And I would have shot myself in the foot, I think, over and over again in some ways. Like we both talked about, being able to see those blind spots, your strengths, and not trying to shove those under the rug. Because I think the best way I've heard it said is if you don't use your natural strengths, it's exhausting to try and be something else. And I found that to be true. But also, for me, it's listening instead of like if I'm excited about something, I'll talk a lot. And instead, remember, hey, there's two people in this conversation. I need to listen as well. Taking it now, wherever you are in your career, taking it now and laying the groundwork, I don't think your number really changes. I think maybe you can shift directions a little bit, depending on stressors in life, I would imagine, or even your environment. Maybe you go towards one point of your number a little bit more than others. But I found this to be a really good foundation for me in my career. And maybe it's because I needed help more than most people, but something that's, I think, better to do now. Don't wait till you're towards the end of your career or anything like that to realize this stuff, because I think then it'll be more of a situation of feeling a lot of regret instead of excitement, like I did, to realize these things about yourself. If there's one impact that this makes that's most important in someone's life to get their Enneagram number, but also you have to dig into it. You don't just get the number and quit. You read about it and learn about it. What would you say, professional, non-professional, wherever someone is in their life, what's the biggest impact that taking this test and getting the results makes?
Yeah. And I think if I were to pick one, I want to spit out like 10, right?
Yeah. You can do a couple. One. Yeah. It doesn't have to be just one.
But I think my number one, like my number one, you know, reason to take the Enneagram is it, and this is not for the faint of heart, is that it really, to me, is the best tool out there to understand your blind spots. I've been a professional growth professional for 10 years, 12 years before I took the Enneagram. And I still learned something really deep and impactful about myself. Like, and I would have considered myself like really self-aware. Other people considered me self-aware, but yet it still taught me this really life-changing blind spot. Blind spots are this gap in awareness between what we focus on in our environment and that core fear that each type is going to have. And it just puts language for that space. So that way I can make new choices that instead of negatively influencing my relationships, responsibilities, and results, I can now positively influence them. And so that would be my number one thing. I think that it's the best tool out there for understanding your blind spots. And with that, you have to be in a space where you're ready to like truly look at that about yourself. So that would be, I think, number one. If I could throw a number two in there, just because we're talking to job seekers, I think the Enneagram has lots of resilience tools in it to help you understand how you might operate under pressure, how you might face difficult situations, what it might look like when you're under stress. And I think that's the beauty of the Enneagram, is it's this dynamic system. you know, that is going to show you what happens when you're under pressure, when you're under stress, the things that are going to trigger you, the things that are going to take you offline. And I think it's just a really good self-management tool, stress management tool, because it's stressful, right, to find a job. And sometimes when you're looking for a job, you're in a job that might not be working for you currently. And so that's a really difficult space to hold of like, okay, I'm in this job. It's not really working for me right now. That's pretty stressful. I'm trying to find a new job. That's really stressful. And so the Enneagram just, you know, it gives you those positive things. It gives you the blind spots, but it gives you tools to understand how you're going to operate under pressure and under stress.
I didn't even think about that before I invited you, that there's probably people that have had a couple jobs that just keeps not working out. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that can tend to be you like the idea of it, or you maybe you like the mission of the company or whatever it is, but it's just not the right fit for you based on the core of who you are and what your skills are, which I think obviously hard skills are different than Enneagram, right? Whether you're a great marketing person or you're really good with your hands and tools, whatever it might be, obviously it's not this, but maybe you're trying to paint the wrong picture. Maybe you're a great artist, but you should be painting sunrises instead of sunsets. I've run into so many people that it wasn't the employers or even the jobs that were bad. It's just the person was doing maybe what other people advised them to do, which is great to listen to. But they kept ending up being in the wrong spot. And it was so frustrating for them. It was frustrating for their employers. And just those tiny adjustments in realizing where your strengths are can help with that. And speaking of that, do you have any examples of work you've done with your clients to help them work through the Enneagram and then through coaching, what the outcome has been for people that have come to you and maybe not been where they want to be and you help them get there?
The one that I'm most proud of this year is I had a client come in at the beginning of this year and she was in a new leadership role and she just wasn't sure, like, you know, she was struggling. She was overwhelmed. She was burnt out. The transition for the first time into a leadership role, I always like to tell my clients, I'm like, the first time you become a leader of people, you need to think of it as a new job. Like, this being a leader of people versus being the individual contributor is two different things. And so that's where I like to really work with people is when they're making that first jump. So this individual came in and she was just really overwhelmed. She was overworking. She was overgiving. She was a type two. And what was really powerful for her to learn in the type two is that one of the blind spots is overgiving and not setting boundaries, not saying no. And, you know, to learn that blind spot of like, oh, like I can say no, you know, a type two, their, you know, their core motivation is to be appreciated, to be helpful, to be liked. And it was really helpful for her to put language to like, okay, here's the high side. Like I'm a really generous, you know, connection focused leader. And I have to make sure that I set some personal boundaries, especially with my own energy and my own space, to make sure that my own battery is staying charged, because I can't show up to my role with, you know, my resilience battery in the red. Having the language of the Enneagram for her to understand what might happen when she gets stressed and what was going to put her at a higher level of authenticity and a higher level of efficiency and functioning, you know, that language was really impactful for her. And a couple of years ago, I had another type two client. She actually, after learning her Enneagram type, decided to find a new job because she realized that she was waiting for someone to get her a promotion or to advance her career because she was so focused on supporting and advancing other people's careers. And so the Enneagram taught her like, oh, not everyone thinks like me. Mm-hmm. Like not, you know, like, and I think that's the power of the Enneagram is not everyone thinks like me. You know, and she realized that she had to give that to herself and go out and start applying for jobs because she wanted to get promoted. And that is a gift that she offered the world, but she can go out and give that to herself too.
How can listeners connect with you to learn more about what you do or the Enneagram, anything like that?
Yeah, my website is www.whitneysullivan.com. And I think we're throwing a couple links into the podcast notes. So there's two free downloads in there that talk about the Enneagram. One is 5 to Thrive by Enneagram Type. So that's the 5 key Enneagram insights every leader needs in a new role. And then the other one is, especially if you're new to the Enneagram, it's called Enneagram and Thriving and gives you a sense of what drives you, what your core motivation is, your unique talents, and what you really need to flourish at work and feel good. But also you can find me at Instagram at Whitney H. Sullivan, and then LinkedIn I'm really active on as well, which is also Whitney H. Sullivan.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll link to those in this episode's description. Before we close, first off, I want to apologize to the listeners for talking about myself so much. I would ask you to take a moment and just really think hard and hope that you're not an Enneagram 8 like I am, because
usually Enneagram 8s are like, everyone should be an Enneagram 8.
Yeah, it's hilarious that you say that, because I've talked about it before and I've said, oh yeah, I got the best score. It's 8.
Yeah, yeah. Most Enneagram 8s are like, well, everyone should just be like, I always hear 8s say, they're like, well, if everyone was just an Enneagram 8, the world would be so much better.
Oh, I know 8s are terrible. So just hope and pray that you don't score 8. 1 through 7's good. Check out Whitney's links. Look into the Enneagram, really. And whether it be hopping on her Instagram or going to her website and seeing what this looks like, I really do think it's one of the better tools out there. And I think during your job search is the time to dig into this. Before we close, though, Whitney, do you have any words of wisdom or motivation for our listeners?
The job search can be such a stressful time. And I would just tell someone, like, just keep playing the next play. Keep taking tiny steps forward. And I think, too, like, keep coming back to your unique talents and making sure that you really clearly understand what makes you unique, what sets you apart. And finding roles that are really going to amplify those unique talents. Because like you said, what's going to give us so much energy in life is to keep coming back to those strengths, working with them, reflecting on them, being really clear about what they are, and really taking ownership of those.
Awesome. Whitney, thanks so much for accepting my invitation and coming and talking about this. You're the expert, and I feel like we're really lucky to have you here. So thanks again, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you so much.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.